My name is Daniel McDonald, Daniel Edward. I got named after my grandpa. His name was, fasten your seatbelt, King Edward Butler. So that's how I got to Edward. And he was a staunch, hard man. So I'm going to talk on a subject today about great and precious promises. See, now like when your mama or your daddy promise you a gift, you get good grades, that sounds pretty good. Yeah, I'll get you a new bicycle. I'm going to buy you a See, when I was going to a baseball bat, the glove, and a softball, that was the thing. Not a hardball now. Softball. Football, you know, Lionel train set, a wagon, you know, those wagons you can pull and pull each other in. That was a great thing. Well, nowadays, it's a whole different thing. They want shoes that cost too much, Air Jordans, and it don't make no sense to pay that much. Those are sneakers. Those are not shoes. I'm going to tell you something about shoes like that. Unless they're holy leather, if you get any kind of issues with your toenails, I ain't going to say what it is, it causes that little thing to stay in there, and it'll never go away. When you start wearing leather shoes, the leather prevents the growth of that stuff underneath your toenail. And I learned that at the VA. And all mine's gone now. But if you wear them, those like Skechers and all those suit, that material's not good for your feet. Not good. So, the precious, the great and precious, what can be greater than promising us eternal life? Oh, I want to live to be 100. And I'm like, what for? Why? Because if you look at the way the world is going right now, I don't think I want to be around that long. I want to be around long enough that I can please my God, His Son, and I can die righteously when I close my eyes. And when I close my eyes and they open up again, I don't want to be in fire. I want to be floating to meet Him in the air. Remember, the dead in Christ. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then those which are alive and remain shall be caught up and meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And guess what? The worship we do now does not end. When you get up in there, you got to worship Him day and night. So you got to get the hang of worship now, because we are His children. We are His creation. So He gives us great promises, and they're precious. Nobody else can promise this type of reward for your obedience. Not all the money, not a quadrillionaire, zillionaire, billionaire. That money don't mean nothing. I mean, like I tell you before, there's no more gold to back that money. Those are just numbers on a piece of paper. That's all they are. So, but what God promises us is eternal salvation if we are obedient to Him. Those Jews who are obedient and died during that dispensation, they get that too. But what the remarkable thing I find out is the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And here recently that began to set in my mind. I said, well, wait a minute, what about the Jews that died righteously? But the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first. And the ones, the Jews who died righteously, they're going to get to be in heaven too, but we get priority. And I find that remarkable. I really do. But when we look back then, they had different sets of groups, and they were all doing their own thing. They had some evil, some good, some bad. But then, remember, the law and the letter will kill us. We had some of that discussion this morning. Thank God we don't have it now. I would have been dead years ago. I probably would have made it to 20. Everybody was naughty when they were young. Don't act like I'm not the only one. Everybody done. All have sinned and come short. And a lot of those sins in the Old Testament, they will kill you for that. So God, Christ came along and He removed that particular death sentence from us. So He gives us great and precious promises. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm sorry. Yeah, what is my granddaughter? Sorry. God up talking to Grandpa. I'm gonna have to just stop him. Yeah. Hayward. I'll have to catch him later. Hold on. So anyway, 2 Peter chapter 1. Let me get there, I'm sorry. If you have it, say amen, so I know somebody got it. All right, there we go. 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's look at verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, I'm sorry. First Peter. Now, what is Peter known to be? Peter would seem like he was like the head apostle, right? Remember on the day of Pentecost, and after he preached that gospel sermon, and they all turned to Peter, and the rest of the apostles said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the answer was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." That's a whole nother set of sermons about that Holy Ghost. So 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 reads, "To inheritance," I'm in 1 Peter. Second, I'll tell you, man. Did I tell you guys 2 Peter?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, it's my fault. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Qualifications. To them that have obtained like the righteousness of God through us, obtained like precious faith with us through our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Through the knowledge of God of Jesus Christ. Not the knowledge of Daniel. Not the knowledge of a next door neighbor. But the grace and peace comes through the knowledge of God. And of Jesus Christ. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God what?
Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Right. And when you use the word ghost, it's not like the 13 ghosts I grew up with in Indiana, you know, the scary movie, the 13. No. You can't see the Holy Ghost, but you can experience it. You can see whether or not somebody has it. And it don't make you act unseemly, foam at the mouth, roll on the ground, and speak. If you speak it, well, I don't want to get into that. But it don't make you do that stuff. That's all farce. According as his divine power have given unto us all things that pertain unto the what? Life. He tells us how to live our lives in this world. Life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Now, part of that life is also eternal life, but how to live in this life to get to eternal life. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great. So what he gives us is beyond, it goes beyond being great. This is so great, we can't even number it. That's how big it is. Exceeding great and precious promises. The promises he gives us is precious. Don't you think your life is precious? My life is precious. And thank God for doctors, nurses, hospitals. And what is their mission? To save your precious life. And even with them working on you, that still is up to God. And I'll be frank with you, I almost lost my life last year. If I didn't have the good sense to go to the VA hospital, congestive heart failure, instead of listening to that Humana doctor, wasn't doing nothing, I went straight to the hospital. He took one look at me and he began to put lines in me. I said, "You're keeping me." Said, "Yes, we are, sir." But glory be to God, I was there on the third day. They kicked me out of there. Take this medicine and go home. So God lets things happen to us for a reason. It's not always because we're disobedient, but he wants to show you who he is. We talk about leaning on the everlasting arms of God, but when have you ever really leaned on his arm? We talk about it, but can you walk about it? And one of the things that make us walk about it is we have different catastrophes in our life. We have health issues. We see things, and it's easy. I'm going to pray for it and all that, but sometimes you need prayer yourself. And we should not be ashamed to go to our brothers and sisters to ask for prayer. You don't have to tell them for what, but sometimes that's up to you if you want to tell them. But be careful who you tell your business to. Can't tell everybody your business. Because they'll turn around, flip it another way, and next thing you know, you done did this and you didn't do that. So great and precious promises, how? That pertain unto life and godliness, what? Through the knowledge of him who have called you, who have called, knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the nature, the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world through lust. He said a mouthful there. He has given us the key to the kingdom of heaven. Anybody here not want to go to heaven? Don't raise your hand. But you got some people saying, no, I'm going to go to heaven. I want to go to hell. I'm going to have my heaven here on earth. That's why they sell their soul to the devil. They're doing it for fame and fortune. I think somebody said, I ain't going to say which president because I don't know how true it is, said, he don't believe in hell and he don't believe there's a God. He's one of our presidents. And he dead. I bet you he believes now. It's gone. Hell is real. So these great and precious promises that he gives us, and he wants us to be partakers of the divine nature he has, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. So, the world is corrupt. There's nothing nice about this world. Nothing at all. Only thing is that God created it. He gave us what we need. We got water. We got food. I mean, I'm talking about the basics. That's fine. But the people have flipped this whole thing up. Okay, think back when you were a young child or when you were a teenager. Is the world the same way it was then? It's gone. They'd have lost their mind. Corruption, corruption, corruption. Lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the love of money. That's what's ruling this world now. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and the virtue knowledge, and the knowledge temperance, and the temperance patience, and patience godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness. Now that's where some people gonna make it that far. We judge people by the color of their skin. We judge people where they live. We judge people because of money, because of this and that. God doesn't look at the color of your skin. He looks at your soul. Do you have a good soul or do you have a rotten soul? Remember he said, tonight thy soul shall be required of. Not your body, but your soul. It's your soul. We all have eternal souls. Either you're going to burn eternally or you're going to live eternally with Christ and his Father and everybody else up there. So your soul will pay for what you did, not your body. The bodies are designed to deteriorate. Remember, the lights go dim. You start needing glasses. You get cataracts. Can't see no more. Some people have to have somebody lead them around. But God said that could happen to us. You're bowled over. Your spine, my spine is all messed up, and you start, and next thing you know, you walk. You ever seen old people, they walk like this sometimes? Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. They're trying to hold themselves up. I start doing it. Somebody said, Daniel, stand up. So I start standing up. I try to stand up, but I have back problems. And then it said that somebody may have to gird your lungs. In other words, you can get so bad that you cannot dress yourself. This is all part of life. The body is designed to deteriorate. And hopefully we get right with God before it gets there. But sometimes it takes a little bit of that for God to get our attention. And I tell you, every time I come, goes in the hospital, who they call on? Most people. I don't know all people. They call on God. And getting your attention. So So we all gotta pay it. We all have to pay attention. And the knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and God is brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're doing these things, you know what he commanded us to do. Some people don't understand what the scriptures say because they've never been taught. Or they've been taught and they ignore it because they're lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. So, I wanted to bring that to you. Now, let us go. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, please. Great and precious 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Just say amen so I know what's going on. Amen. Say it with enthusiasm. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Cinco. Mm-hmm. I know enough to get me in trouble. So. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm going to start with verse 1. We're going to walk through this real quick. All right. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So even though this body will turn to dust, either I get cremated, or in that grave, floating in that water, them bones, eventually them bones are going to be gone. There'll be anything there. Our body's designed to do that. But what he's saying is, this tabernacle, this earthly house of this tabernacle, were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So if you live right, die right, or if you're alive when Jesus comes and you've been living right, you got a house in heaven that can never be destroyed. The houses you got now, you can buy a brand new house now within 10 to 12 years. All of a sudden, the air conditioning goes out. Up, that circuit goes out. Up, you know, everything's, if it comes with appliances, they break. You have to get a new one. All of a sudden, your cost and expenses goes up. But the cost and expenses in this life to get that other house is nothing compared to what we have to do here now, you know, for our own homes, because it's always repairs, plumbing, all you name it, you got it. Especially it happens at the wrong time, doesn't it? Air conditioner goes out when it's hot. The water heater bursts. Those water heaters ain't cheap no more. They're expensive. So why not get a house that's eternal? For in this we groan earnestly to be clothed upon with our house which is in heaven. So I want that house in heaven, a mansion over the hilltop, getting that one drink from that water, and I'll never thirst again and never die again. You got a lot of zombies walking around here. They're dead spiritually. Oh, you see the body moving, but spiritually they are dead. You got members of the Church of Christ who are dead. Oh, they go sing on How I Love Jesus, but they can't step out the church house quick enough before they start cutting up again. And everybody is guilty of something. So, three. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You know, Adam and Eve didn't know they was naked until Satan come along. And what you said, Satan was, apparently he was able to stand up and walk like us, but then he put them on the ground where he belonged. But he was a serpent. Yes, he was. Be careful of people coming to you with gossip. Busybody in other people's matters, and they turn you against other people. You don't even know that person. Get to know that person for yourself. And if they have that person, then try to find a way to get them turned around and tell them what Christ is. If they want to cuss you out about that, well, okay, I'll pray for you. Don't you pray for me. Can't stop me from doing that. I can pray for you while I'm talking to you. Guess what? I'm looking at you. I'm still praying for you. You can always go into the closet of your mind, and nobody knows. It's between you and God. All right? Verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for what we would be unclothed, but be clothed upon, that mortally might be swallowed up of life. So eventually we're going to die. And how many people you know that don't try to fight death? Think about it. Some people, I don't care. No, you do care if you die. Don't say you don't. You get to a certain age and understand, and the Bible said, my time to go, I'm going. And sometimes you actually get sick of seeing what's going on in the world. But you cannot take your own life. You've got to wait until Christ comes to get you. So if you take your own life, you go into that place that burns. You cannot take your own life. You have to. Christ suffered on the cross. Did he come off that cross? You saw what they did to him. You read about it. And they nailed him. Here's your king. Thou be the Son of God, come now. They didn't know they was playing with fire, literally. All right. 5. For now he that hath wrought us for the same sake thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Don't raise your hand, but I'll raise mine. How many wants to be with the Lord? You can raise it. I didn't want to embarrass you. You can raise it if you want. Because this life is filled with sorrows and troubles here below. We're often made to wonder just why it should be so. In every sad condition, this life must bring to view. Oh, Lord, we need a friend like you. You can have no better friend than Jesus. If you ain't had that moment that I just sung about, like I have, you ain't crossed the right road yet. You keep living. If you haven't got it, you'll get it. Because sometimes you get sick and tired of people. Because people nowadays are just full of pure evil. They don't care about their next door neighbor. They don't care about you. They don't care about members of their family. They really don't care about nothing but themselves. Heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. See, and that's where people mess up. I'm going to try to walk through this, but so we walk by faith and not by sight, because we cannot see the things God has promised us, but we see it in his word. So, but he gives us vivid pictures of what heaven's going to be like. And I had an argument discussion with somebody one time, and their preacher, who did not, he's dead now, and they used to work with him on his board. Brother McDonald, you don't mean that God can still make apostles? And say, no, he doesn't. They're all dead and gone. And if you look, the Bible said the name of the 12 apostles are written on the foundation of the city. There's no, an apostle means ambassador, but God chose his apostles. There's no more need. The church was in existence. Then they said unto Peter and the other apostles, all those people are gone. We have the word, so there's no need for apostles. We walk by faith and not by sight, where we are confident, I say, and willing rather than to be absent from the body and to be present. I'd rather be with the Lord. Sometimes I feel like that. I love my wife, but ain't nothing against her, but I'm not sick of her. I'm sick of this world sometimes, because we discuss it. You can't discipline your children. You can't say this. You can't say that. So, and I'm not trying to check out here because I want to do this until God calls me home. See? So, we sometimes we just want to be with the Lord because you know it's going to be peace. All right? For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he have done, whether it be what? Good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, that means women too, we persuade men, but we are manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciousness. So we must be the examples. We must show the Spirit of Christ. We must see Christ, let people see Christ. And sometimes some folks make that hard. I'm not going to lie to you. They make it real hard, especially on your job, sometimes your neighbors, sometimes at the grocery stores, especially with all the stuff that's been going on the last couple of years. People say things and do things, and if you're not careful, they'll trigger you real quick. See, I've been threatened with a gun before, just at the grocery store. Smith. Oh, come on, follow me home. Homie, I got a Glock for you. So he didn't park my car. So we're living in very dangerous times right now. And hopefully, and I know God's not going to let bad things happen to us. He'll intervene in certain times, but all this and latter times, perilous times, shall come. We are living in those times right now. And they're only going to get worse and worse. All right? Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are manifest in your conscience. Okay, I'm gonna back off. I'm gonna say this for the rest, because there's a lot I can go through here, but I want to be respectful of our time. So we're gonna say, on the day of Pentecost, when what was remarkable about those things, God offered it to the Jews first and then also to the Greeks. We would be considered the Greeks because we're not Jews. But that's just a terminology. And they heard, say, how hear we every man in our own language? When we were born, knowing they weren't born in that language, speaking the wonderful works of God. So that tongue mean was an established language that those folks that were gathered there, all the devout Jews out of every nation. The day of Pentecost, that's when they celebrated when God had to put the blood of the lamb on the doorpost so the death angels didn't go in there and kill that firstborn son. See, when you go down that water, you got the blood of the lamb. You know why? Because when you go down that water, you come in contact with the blood of Christ. It's not physical, it's spiritual. And you got to have the blood of the lamb on you to be saved. And when they finished that, and he even told them, y'all killed him. Y'all killed Jesus with your evil and wicked hands. Y'all did kill him. So they did. So he goes on and they said to him, men and brethren, what shall we do? Speaking to the apostles. And Peter stood up. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. God still extends that to this day. And now the Holy Ghost, that period where you start speaking in an unknown tongue and all that's over. The tongues, that's why Paul said, if any one of y'all speak in an unknown tongue, let there be an interpreter. The interpreter don't know what they're saying. I've seen people, it's like, he said, you don't know what that man said. You don't know what that woman said. You're making it up. Satan likes to mimic God. God, I speak English, you speak English, some people speak other languages, they start speaking another, I know enough to get in trouble. So, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But the Holy Ghost does guide us. So, if you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you get baptized in the church by believing the gospel, hearing the gospel. It's the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. repenting of your sins. That means you're willing to stop all the stuff you know. Sometimes, and then often not everybody comes out that water. Sooner or later, you're going to do it again. But you don't have to get, you only get baptized once. But you can always come forward to ask for prayers at the church. So, that's what we do. And if you want to have any prayers, I don't know how you do your prayer requests. If you want to do it now, let's all together.